Risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You know, it's easy to sit here in a sanctuary with people who believe the same thing that we do. I can't imagine what it was like that first Easter Sunday after the women ran back and tell the disciples, "We have seen the Lord." After the two disciples on the road to Emmaus came back and said, we ate with him. We recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And now we get to our gospel lesson for today, where Jesus appeared to his disciples. Well, what a shock that must have been to go from seeing your Lord hung on a cross, his body buried in the tomb, to all of a sudden, Jesus right in their midst. For those that saw him, they were amazed. He had to open up with words, "Peace be with you," because it was shocking. It's not what they expected. It was something quite extraordinary. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. When Jesus was with his disciples, he blessed them by breathing in the Holy Spirit on them, that whoever they forgave, their sins were forgiven. Jesus also sent them. He made them apostles and told them to share this word with everyone. We're told in our gospel lesson that one of the people that they told was Thomas. They had told Thomas, who wasn't with them for whatever reason that night, they told him, let's read this together. "We have seen the Lord." All right, that's probably not how they said it, okay? Let's say it like you just saw Jesus and you're telling somebody something amazing. I can't, a horse with a 6-inch mustache? What? You know, just incredible. Can you say this like, "We have seen the Lord"? All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. "We have seen the Lord." You know, and Thomas was kind of taken aback because, was he there? No. Did he know that Jesus had died? Yeah. That his body was buried? Yeah. Do people come back from the dead? No. And so I don't know if you've ever been, your friends or family have one of those amazing experiences. You were invited, but you didn't go. And they come back and tell you, "You should have been there. It was so amazing." And they keep going on. And as they talk about it, you're like, "But I wasn't there. Stop talking already." And maybe you get a little bit defensive, like, "I don't want to hear about it. If I didn't see it, I really don't care." You see this in Thomas. The disciples are so excited. "We've seen the Lord." And it's kind of, he gets a little bit defensive and he says, "You know, unless I see the mark in his nails and in his hands and put my finger into his side, I won't believe it." Something happened in Thomas's heart. I think it's more than just doubting. I think Thomas, he's given up on Jesus. He invested his life in Jesus, and now this happened. He died, and he can't take it anymore. He doesn't want to get hurt again. "Unless if I see him, I just don't believe it." But I love it. Did Jesus give up on Thomas? Was Jesus mad at Thomas? Did Jesus come back and say, "Thomas, you zap"? You know, no. That's he said, "Peace be with you." And he invited Thomas, "Look, touch, see, I've risen from the dead." But then Jesus gave those words to Thomas that I think challenged him and challenged us. "Do not doubt, but believe." And this is where Thomas gets his nickname, because what's Thomas's nickname? Doubting Thomas. But it's interesting, the word in the Greek Bible isn't actually doubt, okay? It should be more, you know, do not be in a condition of not believing. Rather, be believing. The word for doubt isn't used here. The same word for believing, pistis, is used now instead of opposites. It's the opposite of faith is what Jesus is talking about. Thomas, go from not believing to believing. You know, if you want to look at somebody who doubted, you go with Jesus when he was with his disciples after he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus sent the disciples ahead of him on a boat, and he came out on them walking on the water. And what do they think Jesus was? A ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." And then Peter says something, "Lord, if it's really you, if it's you, tell me to come. I'm not certain it's you, but if it is you, tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water. This is pretty cool. All right, as long as his eyes were on Jesus. But when he saw the winds and the waves, he began to doubt and began to sink. And we're told that Jesus immediately reached his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, Peter, why did you doubt?" This doubt is a completely different word than what Jesus uses for Thomas. This doubt is kind of a wavering. One moment you trust, the next you don't. It's like a two-sided face, that one moment you think this and the next you think this. This doubt, this wavering is what Jesus says in this passage, but not with Thomas. You know, Thomas says something kind of like Peter. You know, Peter challenged Jesus, "If it's you, tell me to come." Peter challenges Jesus, "If he is really back from the dead, Jesus, if you're really alive, I want to touch you. I want to see you. I want to put my hand in your side." Maybe you're at church today, and maybe you're really wrestling with your faith. Maybe you're at a point in your life where things aren't going the way that you really want them to be going. Maybe you're wondering, is Jesus real? Does he love me? Does God have a plan? Maybe you're not just doubting, but you're wrestling with, do I really believe in Jesus? You find yourself in a state of not believing. Today I want to challenge you. Be like Peter. Be like Thomas. Say, "Jesus, if you're real, show me. Jesus, in some way, I want to believe." Because I truly believe that when we challenge Jesus, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up in his word. Jesus shows up in his sacrament. Jesus shows up in a way so that we may stop not believing, but be in a state of believing. That's what Jesus wants more than anything. For Thomas, it was all about Jesus' death on the cross. That fact made him so he couldn't believe. But faith is all about a relationship. For Thomas, that relationship died when Jesus died. But Jesus says, "I want to have a relationship with you that lasts forever. Death can't separate you from me. Your sin can't separate you from me. Nothing in this world can separate you from my love. Trust me. Believe me. Follow me." Belief is about a relationship. It's not about thinking the right things in our head. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thomas had to see Jesus for this relationship to be reestablished. And when Thomas saw him, Jesus came again and said, "Peace be with you. Come, see, and touch." Jesus invites us continually in a relationship with himself. I truly believe that Jesus never stops pursuing you. Jesus never gives up on us. Jesus shows up with peace. Come see. Come touch. And I love Thomas. Thomas, when he saw the Jesus, you know what he said? "My Lord and my God." Can you say that with me? "My Lord." Do you think that's the way Thomas said it? All right, let's try this again, okay? Jesus just showed up in a way that Thomas didn't think possible. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. Let's say it together. "My Lord and my God." Christ is risen? He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's how Thomas greeted his Savior, my Lord and my God. He believed. He believed. So much of that Thomas' life was changed. He became a missionary, a sent one. And this is a picture of the Syrian church in Malabar, India. That's where people, the traditions trace Thomas went as a missionary. He left Jerusalem. He left home. And he went to tell people about this Jesus that he saw. This Jesus who didn't give up on him. This Jesus who loved him enough to show up. Peace be with you. Come and see and come and touch. And so throughout India, churches say this is where Thomas preached. This church was started by Thomas. Thousands of lives have been touched by Jesus Thomas who saw and believed. And ultimately, you know what happened to Thomas in India? He died. He gave up his life. Not for somebody who died and remained in a tomb, but for somebody who rose. Somebody who conquered death. Somebody who paid for our sins. Someone who invites us into a relationship with him now and forever. So that's my prayer for you. That you may say, my Lord and my God, Jesus, I believe in you not only with my head, but also with my heart. So I want to close with one little cartoon. This little boy says, Jesus, it isn't much, but it's all I've got. And you know what Jesus says? That's all I ever wanted. That's all I ever wanted. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your Son. Lord, sometimes it is hard to believe as we live our lives. Lord, speak to us through ways that we know that you speak, through your word, through your church. Lord, as we look for evidence, for your presence in our lives, help us to look where we know we can find you. Lord, in the Lord's Supper, in our baptism, in your word, in your church. Lord, help people see Jesus alive in us, that the way that we love one another, that we may give people an insight in how you have loved us. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you died for us. Thank you that those who confess of their sins, that you forgive us, that you make us and give us eternal life. You make us saints. Help us, Lord, to live as your people, loving others as you have loved us, that all people might know that Jesus is Lord. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said,